Hey, Sergeant Scott.
Hey, Mr. McAllister, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing today?
Another day in paradise.
I guess we have a bit of a delay between me talking and you hearing me.
That's no surprise. These phones are... Oh, they do their best.
Well, I was going to start with some easy stuff to break the ice. I have you as Sergeant Christopher Scott. I was looking for a middle initial and maybe a little bit of your background here. I understand you're from Ogdensburg.
Yes, sir. Well, originally Hubleton. Middle initial is J.
Did you graduate from Hubleton High School?
Yes, I did.
I'm not trying to ask you how old you are, but when did you graduate?
Yes, I do. 2003.
And did you plan a military kind of lifestyle growing up? You know, how did you get involved with the service? Can you talk a little bit about, you know, your background in the service?
I wouldn't say it was anything really planned out. It was coming up, you know, towards graduation. I really didn't have anything in line. I kind of wanted to get away from the area and just kind of do other things. So I figured, you know, if anything, just to get the GI Bill or whatnot and the benefits, I'd sign in for four and see how it went and see what I could do with it, and then it just kind of happened after that. Every time it came up to be around the time to get out, the benefits of staying in just outweighed the benefits of getting out and starting over. So
The way that I understand it, you know, I read the article on DVIDS, and someone made us aware of this anyway, someone local here, and you know, it really looks like you're involved in kind of the revitalization of Afghanistan. I mean, what we you know, what we read about in the papers here and what everybody on the street is talking about is, you know, we're out of Afghanistan, but you know, you're living proof that there are still U.S. troops located there, still remaining there. You know, can you talk, I guess, about, you know, what your primary task is there a little bit? And you know, I'm looking for kind of a human interest type of story about what your daily routine kind of is. And talking to you yesterday, it sounds like sometimes, you know, the day isn't a routine, but can I maybe tee it up like that for you a little bit and get you rolling?
I would say nothing's really routine. anything could change at a moment's notice. We like to try and make plans of, you know, what we have tasked out for the day or the week or whatnot. And stick to it the best we can. But, I mean, obviously, as with anything, you know, that's subject to change. Situation will be dependent. My role over here personally, and I can only really speak on behalf of myself, is I'm on what's called an embedded training team with the Afghanistan National Army. And basically what we do is we're also known as an advisor team. We're try and break this down. We're like a battalion level staff. We work with a battalion level staff of Afghanistan Army. So basically all their head shops and sections, we have a counterpart in each one of us.
Their
administrative section. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you said their head shop and their section?
Well, like their main sections of their battalion, which is what they call a KANDAK. It's KANDAK.
And that's like like the administration of the Army? The KANDAK?
Well, that's like their battalion level, equivalent to like a U.S. military battalion. And, you know, inside that structure, they have like an administrative section, an operations section, logistics section, intelligence section, a section for medical, which are all the small gears, if you will, that run the battalion. Like I said, each of us on the team has a counterpart in each one of those sections. And we have our comm guy works with their communication. Myself, I work with their logistics section. And so on and so forth through all of their main battalion areas.
So when you say you work in logistics, can you describe to me like what that means? Like, you know, if I'm trying to explain it to the public here, what does that mean?
The working with their logistics, the logistics portion in a military section, it covers their supply, their transportation, anything like that, as far as, you know, they deal with all the parts that, you know, the maintenance section put on order. Like I said, the supply section of it all that kind of falls into the logistics. If beans, bulletins, and Band-Aids is basically what we kind of use, simple terms in the military, you know, if there's any supplies that have to come from location A to location B, it would be the logistics section that coordinates everything to make that happen as far as the transportation, any special equipment that would be required for that task, i.e. if they have to outsource like engineer support as far as forklifts or something like that.
So it sounds like basically you're working hand in hand with the Afghans and functioning in a myriad of ways to try to maintain what has been established there.
Yes, in essence.
Kind of organizing a society.
Correct. Well, they're very independent. On their own. So, I mean, all we really do is advise, is basically what it boils down to. I mean, we really don't do for them. We just help them figure out the best solution to do for themselves.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, you know, civilians kind of have a lot of stereotypes of what is going on over there, what we're doing over there, about the people there, the culture there. You know, it sounds like you're fully immersed in all of that. And I'm just wondering if you know, in doing what you do every day, have learned something about the Afghan people in the place, you know, that you didn't really expect.
Oh, very much so, very much so. I mean, even before we even got over here, for our specific job, working with the Afghan Army, we went through a lot of training, language-based training, culture training. And It's a real surprise to kind of see what it's like over here, as opposed to what you've ever heard or anything like that. I guess the biggest thing would be. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, could you kind of explain that a little bit? Can you talk about some things that you've seen or some things that you've learned? And I think you were just about to do that, and I kind of interrupted you.
No problem. Such as just their culture and their way of everyday things. There's a lot of different tribes over here, is what they're called. Like the Pashtu tribe, it's Pashtu. That's the very more dominant tribe throughout the country, or any tribe. They're just their way that they do things, such as they place a lot of. What's the best word I'm looking for here? They place a lot of stock in their elders, for example. As we're trying to think of the best way to say it. Like, you know, just the respect that they have for their elders is, you know, it's like gold. What they say would go. I really wasn't expecting anything like that. As far as like the landscape, for example, nothing like I'd expected. When we first got here, it was the fall time. Everything was kind of as expected. It's just sand and everything is tan. And, as we're rolling into spring now, I mean, I could look from where I am and see nothing but just green fields and fully bloomed trees. And, you know, you got the farmers out there, see them every morning that we go out and they're, you know, they're getting their wheat and everything like that. You drive through their bazaar, it's BAZAR, which is like their marketplace. They got modern stuff I would never expect to see. You know, they're selling soda and little, you know, cupcakes and cake treats and everything like that. You know, as far as what's the word I'm looking for? For as primitive as you would expect it to be over here, I mean, they're actually doing very well. Our location, it's not as westernized as they tend to refer to it as. There's not really big city and, you know, everybody's got a car and everything like that and a lot of traffic. I mean, there is
really a lot of traffic road, or there's not?
There's not. I mean, there are cars going, driving around and a lot of motorcycles. I've never seen so many motorcycles as I have over here. Everybody's got one. And it's nothing to, you know, pass a motorcycle driving by your truck and there's literally a family of five on one motorcycle just going up the road doing whatever they got to do. But, I mean, the people here, they get along, you know, the same way they had before we ever came here and, you know, probably the same way that they will long after we're gone out of the country. Like I said, I mean, my job is to advise their military on how to improve the way they do things so that, you know, they can have 100% control of the country once we, you know, get out of here and leave it to them, you know, similar to what, you know, had happened to it in Iraq. We helped out. We built their security, got them on the right path so they could be very self-sufficient, which they're really on the right track too, and let them do their thing.
What do you think? The impression that the U.S. is going to leave there in Afghanistan. You know, when people there look back on what you guys have done, what are they going to say?
I really couldn't give you a solid answer. I mean, I would hope that they said, you know, thank you. I mean, as would anybody that's done their time over here, you know. You would hope that what you did over here to help them out, would go appreciated, but it's hard to say. It really is. There's a lot of gray area out there, and I'm sure there's people that don't even care that we're here. They don't even pay mind to it.
You mean people there that don't care, or people here?
Yeah, I mean, people there are here. people here that, I mean, they don't even really pay any mind to us. They're used to us having a presence, and you know, they just go about their business as usual.
Can you tell me?
Drive down the road. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. The delay is kind of getting me here a little bit. what I was going to say is, I'd like you to kind of now I'm missing a word here. I'm trying to think of kind of. Give me some specifics about where you are and how that, what's the region that you're in, and give me some specific names of where you're at. Does that make sense? Kind of locate me?
I really can't disclose specific locations. I have to remain pretty vague about it. We're in the Helmand province. I can disclose that much, which is one of the southernmost provinces.
Helmand,
that's H-E-L-M-A-N-D.
H-E-L-M-A-N-E?
N-D, as in dog.
And basically, and I know you've kind of described this to me already, but in general, what is the military's goal in that region? If you had to put that in a nutshell, I mean, I know you've talked to me about that a little bit already, and you've kind of hashed it out a little bit, but if you were asked, you know, what is the U.S.'s goal in this particular region, how would you describe that?
I would say... Just, partnering with the ANSAF forces, the Afghan National Security Forces, and, just continuing to advise them in order to be 100% self-sufficient.
Gotcha. So you talked to me a little bit about, having a lot of training on you know, culture training and language training, and you talked to me about, you know, really having a kind of a myriad of things that you kind of do on an everyday basis. Can you talk to me about how you communicate and how you transition between kind of one mission or activity or another, and kind of how your how that goes day to day?
Yeah, see if I can sum it up. As far as translation and everything. I mean, we have linguists that are assigned to us. I mean, and that does the whole language barrier thing for the most part. As far as the day-to-day, it's basically, we have business, just as the U.S. military that we have to tend to on our level. That's kind of set aside from what we do as advisors for their military. If we're not doing anything to assist them and mentor them and advise them, we're generally just doing what we got to do as far as to keep our training up and any little issues we might have to tend to, if that makes sense. It could be anything. We could be, in my job, I can't really speak for anybody else on the team's job. Because like I said, we each have our own sections that we partner with and advise. But like I said, my logistics section that I advise, it covers a lot of things. So one day I could be advising them the best way to fill out forms and order truck parts. In the next day, for example, I could be trying to figure out the best way for them to go about getting water supplied to one of their outer positions. The next day could be helping them update their ammunition count. It's just anything like that. I mean, also there's the unfortunate case when all three of those can wrap into one day and it becomes a very long day. But generally, we don't really pry into what they do too much. We're here more so just... if they come to us and ask for assistance.
So what about just like common everyday things like eating, personal care, showering, living, sleeping? How does that all work for you? Is it pretty comfortable, or is it, like that family of five riding on the motorcycle?
Well, fortunately for us, our location, we have the main Marine base. It's called a forward operating base, or a FOB. And then basically right on the other side of one of the berms from that is that Afghan National Army camp. They're two separate entities in themselves. Like, you really never see other Marines down here, and you never see ANA soldiers up on the Marine base. We do work down here. Our office is on their base. A handful of us sleep down here. Not with them. We have our own separate quarters, our own separate building, which is kind of a requirement because, throughout the day when you're engaged with them, we have to, stick to kind of their culture. We can't really do anything that, as Americans might not, it seems normal every day, but it could be offensive to them or anything like that. So, we come in our office and we can kind of be ourselves, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But like showering, we just we just go right up to the Marine base. I mean, it's just a simple little walkway through the berm. And we're up there, and that's where our dining facilities, our showers, everything like that are. And, of course, the ANA down here have those same amenities, but, I mean, we try not to do anything that'll take away from them. So, I mean, even something as simple as a shower, you know, we don't shower with them. That's their private space. They have their own set of customs on stuff like that. And, I mean, we respect their boundaries, basically, is what it comes down to. And, you know, we stay engaged a lot through the day, but, you know, as of anything with anybody, there's certain areas that you kind of just, you know where to draw the line at, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. How about food?
Food? Yeah, like I said, we have a dining facility, our mess hall, that's up on the Marine side. Generally, depending on who it is, like the logistics section of the Afghan Army, like the other story says, maybe about once a month, I'll sit down and have a dinner with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, other than that, they're very hospitable people. So if we're sitting outside our building down here, you know, their kitchen that they do their food is right across the little pathway. And, you know, what they'll do is, you know, for one tent that they live in, you know, one person will go out and get food for three in that tent, you know, for their lunch or dinner or breakfast. You know, as they walk, they're always offering us, you know, rice and bread and their meats and fruits. I mean, it's almost like when you're trying to be a good host, you know, you'll offer anything, and sometimes you kind of have that hope that they don't accept, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it out of kindness because that's their belief is the right thing to do, but I think they would get annoyed with it if every time we said yes. But there's been times we have, you know, a grill that we had built out of an old 55-gallon drum out here. And we'll go up to the Marine side. And once in a while, we're fortunate enough to be able to get a box of steaks or something and throw some charcoal on and cook steaks. And we might have a couple of them stop over and have some steak with us, and they'll bring over some of the bread from their little kitchens there, and, you know, we'll just hang out and have some food together. And then also, you know, once in a while, my counterparts that I work with and advise, I'll invite them over, you know, to the Marine side to have a meal at our chow hall. And, you know, they enjoy that. You know, they got the ice cream and just stuff they don't have on a daily basis.
Gotcha. I was kind of thinking about wrapping this up by, you know, obviously it's Mother's Day in a lot of the world right now, and it's going to be Mother's Day here on Sunday. And I was kind of wondering, you know, as far as being in contact with your family, or, you know, and not knowing, you know, about your parents or anything like that, but, you know, how often do you get to talk to your family or friends back here? I mean, obviously, I'm talking to you here today, and I can appreciate how difficult it is to get in touch with you. You know, is this kind of a time when you think about your mom or your family, or, you know, how's that kind of working out for you?
It's not too bad. I mean, we're pretty fortunate to have some good amenities over here. Up on the Marine base, they have what the MWR is, the Morale Welfare Recreation Tent. And it's got got some computers in there that people can do the Facebook and all that. Down in the office that we have this phone here, which I can dial like the DSN number to Fort Drum. And, you know, I could call pretty much anybody with the 315 area code. And it doesn't cost anything.
What's the D? You said D.
DSN line, yeah. I have no idea what it stands for. Basically, it's like a line that the military uses overseas, at bases, stuff like that. It's kind of on a separate circuit, you could say, from, you know, everyday common house phones.
So you've obviously been able to stay in touch with your family. I don't know. Are you a married man, or do you have kids, or anything like that? Or are your parents still with us? Are they in Hebleton?
My mother and my stepfather, they live out on the Pinkerton Road there in Ogdensburg. And then my father and stepmother, they live right in Ogdensburg. And then my in-laws, they live out in Pope's Mills. But, most of the time when I do have time to make a call home, I have a wife and son back in North Carolina where I'm stationed at. And I try and call them maybe at least twice a week. And then any other time that I have some free time and I kind of maybe had talked to them the night before or keep in touch with them. Nothing really new is going on. You know, I keep in touch with them through email. I'll take a night and I'll call my parents or, you know, some family back home just to say hi. I try and spread it out equal so at least everybody can have a chance to hear from me at least once or twice.
You're going to be calling your mom on Mother's Day? Is it Mother's Day for you there now, or?
It'll still be Sunday.
You'd be calling her on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter where in the world I am. I would hear it to no end if I didn't. I'm trying to keep my schedule as free as I can for Sunday, at least in the evening, so I can make a few calls home to everybody.
Hey, listen, Chris, I've kind of worn out my list of questions I had for you. I certainly appreciate your time and everything that you're doing over there and serving. You know, my dad was in Korea, and I have a lot of respect for what you guys do. It sounds like you're really making a difference, and it sounds like what you're doing is something that's very rewarding, and you sound genuinely into what you're doing, I guess, and I just really appreciate you the last couple of days here finding time in your schedule to work this out. I mean, what I'm working on here is kind of a feature kind of human interest story, you know, less about the war but more about, you know, you and what you're doing and what the goals are there, you know, as we kind of turn a page on what's happening. So you know, I appreciate you being real candid and real open with me and everything, that we've talked about. I appreciate your time.
No problem at all. I mean, I appreciate that anybody's kind of, you know, taking an interest in it. Yeah. You know, being over here, it's, you're around the same people as you. So, I mean, to us, it's just a norm every day. And, you know, aside from talking to a family member or something, you know, nobody really, there's a lot of stuff that, you know is going on good over here, and but there's nobody to talk to about it that isn't in the same boat as yourself. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's been good to kind of to know that, you know, people kind of get to see the good, you know, not just the bad that seems to make it most of the time.
Yep, absolutely.
That's why, you know, I kind of made sure that I could get some time squared away and get that word out there, especially, you know, back to my hometown.
For sure, for sure. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. Be safe. You know, I appreciate it. And, you know, I don't know, maybe one day down the road we'll be able to shake hands or something. I'm a Rensselaer Falls boy myself. I'm a little bit older than you, but, you know, I graduated in 94, and I got a lot of family around here too, so who knows, we might run into each other someday.
Never know. It's a small area up where we're from.
That's right. Hey, thanks a lot, Sergeant Scott. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for your time. You have a great day.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.